Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Now, Phil, you've got a special guest that we're honoured to have today.
Promised that for many weeks down the track, and we finally got it organised.
I think it almost stretched months, Phil, but it got my head.
Yeah, we got Ryan Kiddo in here today, so from Adelaide United. So happy to have Ryan on board today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, lovely to meet you as well.
Yeah, so you've got a few stats on Ryan, so perhaps we can...
Well, I think it's probably better if Ryan helps us out himself.
You
could just give us a very brief resume of where you started. I don't know whether there was anybody before West Torrens Burkella, but tell us all about it.
Nah, so I'm an Adelaide boy. Grew up in McLaren Vale region, played a number of different sports. Ended up choosing soccer, which started at age 5. Played at McLaren District Soccer Club. Then moved to Seaford Soccer Club about under 10s. Played there for a few years before playing for Cumberland United, which is another club locally.
Yep.
After that, I was fortunate enough to get opportunities within the representative states sides for South Australia, and I got a 2-year scholarship at the South Australian Sports Institute. Once I completed that scholarship, I went to West Torrens Burkella. I played my senior football there. I really enjoyed that. I tried out for the Adelaide United youth team 3 times at West Torrens Burkella, unsuccessfully. The 4th time I went out, I was fortunate enough to receive a youth contract. So I played in the National Youth League there, and I was lucky enough to make my debut in the A-League. During that period, I also was lucky enough to play for the Australian under 23 team, which today is probably one of the proudest moments I've had as a player.
Brilliant. Can I just interrupt?
Yeah.
Was that in Australia or overseas?
That was overseas. So I had a training camp in Dubai. So we went there for a week, and we then had a competition, the AFC Under 22 Championships in Oman.
All right.
So completely different culture and real eye-opening, and ate chicken and rice for a month. That's something to say, but it was a fantastic experience.
Wonderful cultural experience and sporting experience, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I was lucky enough to play 2 games. Played against Kuwait and Japan, and it was... I loved every minute of it.
Who was your coach?
Aurelio Vidmar.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's back at the club now, so...
Yes.
Well, we'll finish your career and then we'll get on to more of those Vidmar and so forth.
Yeah, so after Adelaide United, my progression needed to be from a youth contract to a senior contract. And unfortunately, that didn't happen for me. So I was sort of at a crossroads and... unsure as to what I was going to do, and I made the decision to go back to West Torrens Burkella, and I played there for a season, and from there I was fortunate enough to get an opportunity up at Newcastle.
You're very modest. It was a superstar season.
Like the equivalent of the McGarry medal that you won.
It was good. I was lucky to go back to a good environment with good people, and I felt comfortable, and when you feel comfortable and you're enjoying doing anything,
playing
you're probably going to do the best that you can.
17 goals in 28 games or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it was nice. It's 40 goals, so... No, it was good.
They were the games when the goalie was out in the toilet.
You don't tell them that.
Sorry, keep going.
So after that, I went to Newcastle. So I got the phone call there and I had a 2-week trial. And I was lucky enough to get signed there on an injury replacement contract. Within 3 days, and my first game was, funnily enough, back in Adelaide against Adelaide United on the Friday.
Yep.
I think it was on the Saturday, actually.
Yeah, I remember it.
So, I spent a season there at Newcastle, and then I was lucky enough to get a phone call to come back to Adelaide. So that's where I am now. I'm into my 3rd season back at the club, and I'm really enjoying it.
Well, you're not only really enjoying it, you're playing very well, aren't you? I mean, modesty aside, I mean, you had a great year last season.
It was good. My first year was probably a little bit disappointing individually and from a team. Didn't achieve what we wanted to or what I wanted to. Next year we had a change of coach in Marco, and I really enjoyed playing under Marco and his team. And I think he gave me different a good level of confidence and took my game to another level. And fortunately last year I was able to be more successful as a player, and consequently as a team we did much better as well.
It makes life so much easier if you're sort of settled and got a good mental happiness, isn't it? Sort of, I mean, the skills are one thing, but you've got to be content with where you're sitting, don't you?
Definitely. It's so important that you have a clear mind, and 80% more is played between the ears.
Yes.
It's amazing with anything you do. And I think that was really a good thing for me to be able to come back to Adelaide and and be in a familiar environment with my family and friends. I think that really settled me as a person.
Girlfriend.
And resulted, it's good to come back and be around her, because those things are difficult when you're away and you're living on your own. I wouldn't change it. I loved every minute of it, but it's always nice being home, comfortable.
Well, it gave you that stepping stone, didn't it? Adelaide saw you playing pretty good footy over there, and you've come back and,
Well, I guess sport's all about taking the opportunities, and if you have to leave your environment to get that first one, you do it. But deep down, you'd love to go back where you came from, don't you? Sort of, well, most times you do.
Yeah, it was the opportunity came up and I felt the time was right. And, I'm grateful for the path I took. I had to, I say, battle to get there as such, but I wouldn't change that because I think I'm a lot more appreciative.
Yeah, I was going to say, you appreciate it so much more. If it's just given to you, it's, all too easy, isn't it? But,
I'd like to dwell just for a minute on the sort of physiology, because that's my background, I guess. We were talking off air about your training and planning and tactical manoeuvres, and as is with the case with the AFL, GPSs and tracking, etc. Do you do the same sort of thing?
Yeah, so sports science is massive, I think, with any sport nowadays. So daily we will wear GPS monitors, which monitor the distance we run, the speeds we run at. So then they have different zones to determine how much high speed running and etc. we've done. We also wear heart rate monitors to monitor intensity, and there's a lot of video analysis. So we have video analysis from training sessions. We have a tower and the dreaded video camera up there to make sure it captures every moment of football that you don't want to see on sometimes good moments. But we do a lot of video analysis as well on training and games.
Yes, and I'm sure that your modesty will prevent you from saying it, but I think, worked out that the intensity of work that you guys do compared with AFL is considerably, or at least higher than, because of basically the sort of distance you cover, but in only a 90-minute game, and there is no rotation as there is in Aussie rules, is that?
Yeah, I think growing up I played both sports, so it's probably not fair for me, because I only played a low level, to assume what workload they did, but I think based on what we see, they do about 15, 16 Ks a game. But I think the big difference is the rotation. So they can go for a burst and then maybe rotate through the forward line. Something different within soccer is you're constantly in the game, you're constantly on the move, and you don't have those real rest periods to just go
off. It's not a forward pocket in football, go and have a rest in the forward pocket. Well,
I think it's a different workload. Don't necessarily think it would be. I think both would be just as difficult as each other. But
It's like comparing chalk and cheese. I mean, you've got, although soccer certainly isn't a non-physical game, it's a different sort of physicalness that to Aussie rules to rugby. And so it is a little bit difficult to compare them as such. Can we just change slightly? What are your thoughts about the rumours that they're going to build a new sports arena in Adelaide?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Obviously, we've seen the successes of Adelaide Oval with other codes and how fans have flocked to the Adelaide Oval. So I'm personally really like Hindmarsh. I think it's purpose-built for soccer. I think anyone that's been there will say it's a great atmosphere, it's a great pitch. The facilities are more than okay. The question asked is, if they do build a new stadium and it has more capacity, if it's in a more convenient location in terms of public transport with trains and trams. I mean, the tram does run straight to Hindmarsh, but will more people come? So not a decision for me to make. I really like Coopers. I just hope that if they decide to go down the path of building a new stadium, that it attracts the same volume of crowd.
I've been fortunate to go to Hindmarsh / Coopers on very many occasions. And what you've just said, I just love the atmosphere there. And you basically fill it out, which is terrific, isn't it?
Yeah, it's awesome. Obviously, it's determined on success. Last year, we did quite well, and we had really good crowds towards the end of the year. And when it's full, I feel like there's no better crowd in the A-League. It's buzzing. Everyone gets involved, and it gives us a real lift as a playing group.
And you feel so close. You know, I came to a couple of games last year with you, Ryan, and you just virtually almost sitting on the pitch. You know, I could basically almost talked to you, you know, yeah. And it was just so close, whereas the footy, you sort of, you just feel not quite part of it, but at the soccer, you know, I'm not the biggest soccer fan by any means, but I enjoy coming to watch you guys.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I loved it.
Well, it's the nature of the pitch, the physical, you know, you can make, it's not as big a ground to state the obvious.
No, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's really good, and it is a great atmosphere, and I encourage everyone, if they can get the opportunity just to come down to
absolutely.
The game, it's got something different to offer, that's for sure.
Oh, apart from, you know, our internal leagues, I mean, I've seen Olympic, you know, soccer there, and it's terrific, the football, the foothills in the background and all that. It's,
yeah.
I think, it, you know, I'm not trying to dampen the concept, but I'd much prefer, if I was you, I'd much prefer to play in a full Cooper Stadium than a half-empty, bigger 50,000.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
I mean, it'd be nice to think that if they built it, you'd get 50,000 people there, but that might not happen. Who knows?
Not in Adelaide.
Yeah, exactly. That's a thing they got to weigh up, because we play games around the country and we play in big stadiums. Stadium Australia, probably the most notable stadium. Western Sydney played a few games there, and it's 100,000 capacity, the old Olympic Stadium, and they only get 15,000 people there, and the atmosphere is poor. So we definitely don't want to detract from that, because I think that's a real positive for the game soccer, for people to go to watch. They want to go because the atmosphere is unique.
Yes.
And if building a new stadium is going to take away from that, then it's probably not the most viable option.
As you mentioned earlier, a lot depends on success of whether it's the Reds or whatever team, wherever in the country. But what, you know, the average sort of crowd say that you'd get draw in Sydney or Melbourne, are they sort of similar to Adelaide or bigger? Or
is Sydney, Melbourne? Melbourne generally get a few more. So I'll say on average we get between probably 10,000 when we're going well, 16,000 capacity for big games where you do fill it out. So games against Melbourne Victory, they bring a lot of away support as well. So that's a really good experience. In Melbourne, they have, I think they've got about, I think they usually get about 20,000.
Right.
So Melbourne Victory are probably one of the bigger clubs from a supporter base. And then once you get to teams like Sydney, they also have a good supporter base, but they are in that bigger stadium.
Yes.
Brisbane Roar get around 15,000, but they're in Suncorp, which holds 40. So we're getting into the same sort of issues.
Yeah. Yes.
Is it the rival club, like the club you hate, like your Collingwood? You know, like everyone hates Collingwood. Well, we hate the Crows, don't we, Rick? But that's another thing.
Who's
the soccer club that, say, you Adelaide boys
Melbourne
dislike?
Victory.
Melbourne Victory.
Yeah, hands down. That's like scored the original rivalry, and whenever you sort of always seem to give that just extra 1 or 2% when the Melbourne Victory game's around, because you know how much it means to the fans.
Mm.
I mean, I was once a fan, and you always wanted to be a Melbourne Victory, and nothing's changed.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I think that goes back. I confess I tried to do a little bit of spade work, because the Reds lost their first two grand finals to Melbourne Victory, didn't they? And so that would be a good reason to...
Definitely, yeah. And I remember watching them, and one of them was 6-0, and it was very hard to take. And obviously we... the A-League's only been around for not a... large, I think it's, what are we getting to, about 14 years now?
Yep.
But there's still enough spice between the two teams in that short period that we don't really like each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we did mention it to each other off air again as well, but I was lucky enough to be there for the victory on Adelaide Oval with 50,000 other people, and it was just fantastic.
Yeah, that was awesome. I wasn't able to be at the game because at that time I was with Newcastle Jets. But all reports, it was an amazing atmosphere, a fantastic experience, and I think it's just so good to get 50,000 people through the gates to see an A-League game, and hopefully those people enjoyed it and they'll come back.
As I said to Ryan, the thing that just amazed me was not only the atmosphere, but it was a totally different atmosphere to a football, an AFL crowd, because the chanting and everything was just so, it just is... It's just so consistent. It never stops.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
No, it's really good. We obviously have I think AFL teams have a supporter group. We have a supporter group called the Ren Army, and they lead things, and they love it, and it's very well coordinated, I guess, and they get around it.
Well, they were absolutely brilliant on that day. They were perched at the, as it were, the boundary fence, at the riverbank end, and they were on fire. They were, I mean, winning helps.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Do they come out and watch you train? Because you're all the way out at Elizabeth now training, so do you get any support out there?
Not really. We don't. Obviously, Elizabeth is quite a travel for most people. Yeah. We do have open fan days, which we have one coming up this Saturday.
Oh, okay.
So we're at Hindmarsh for that. So when we have open fan days, we get a good number of people through the gates to come and support us, which is good.
Now, before we finish, you did mention Aurelio Vidmar, and he's just returned to the club. What are your feelings about that?
I've only got positive things to say about Aurelio. Like I said, I was lucky enough to be coached by him when I was in the Ollie Roos side. And I think, like me, he's an Adelaide boy, and he loves the club, and he loves Adelaide. And I think he's going to bring positive things for the future. I'm excited by the appointment, and yeah, looking forward to seeing.
He's almost Mr. Soccer, isn't he? Or soccer football in Adelaide.
Definitely, yeah. Him and his brother have a rich history, and it's fantastic to have him back at the club.
I mean, even if you don't follow soccer, I think you know the name Vidmar, don't you?
I think things are looking really good for you guys. I mean, you know, you sound very confident with the pre-season, and I guess you can't wait to go soon.
Yeah, it's not long now. We've had a long pre-season, but I think we're about 6 weeks to go. We're excited. We've got a full squad together, and everyone's training hard. And I think the biggest thing for me this year is the recruits have been good players, but they're very good people, and we have very good cohesion within the team, and we're excited to get started.
That's fantastic, because not that you're expected to know, but we always have a couple of jokes in our session, and the funniest one is what you've just said, the very opposite, since you said they're all good guys. It's been credited to Sir Alf Ramsey, the English World Cup winning coach, who said, "One of the saddest things about being a professional soccer coach is that your livelihood depends upon 11 people, half of whom you wouldn't invite back to dinner."
That's true, I guess. I suppose, yeah. Sometimes you can't choose who you work with, can you? But luckily, we have a good team this year, and we get along well.
And that's part of the whole story, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you've got happiness and contentment. The other one that we've got two for one day.
Yeah, here we go.
Which applies very well as well, I think. The coach called the little leaguer to the sideline. He said, "Now, listen, Jimmy, you know the principles of good sportsmanship that little league tries to promote? No shouting at the referee, no abusing the opponents, no displays of bad temper. Do you understand what I'm saying?" He says, "Yes, sir." "Well, Jimmy, would you please explain that to your mother?"
That's good. We can all relate to that.
We can all relate to that, yes. Oh, dear. No. Well, look, thank you so much for sparing us the time. It's been really good.
Thanks, Ryan. I told you I'd get it done.
It's an absolute pleasure, and the very best luck for not only the side but yourself personally during the upcoming season. So until next week, this is Rick.
This is Phil.